about that Zimroth.
Yeah.
With the power in song. I wonder if the explanation isn't something kind of as simple as this, that there's a sort of a semantic creeping along here, kind of like you get with the word post. Post starts out meaning the placing of soldiers to go with dispatches. Then it becomes, that's first military dispatches. Then it's secular dispatches. Then it becomes the system that you use to do that. And then it becomes like the mail. You know, you say, I've got some post here this morning, or you have posting a letter and so on. So how do you get from posting a letter to the place where the soldiers are? Well, you just kind of creep along like that. And so what I'm wondering here is that this word probably did not mean power in exactly the same way as the, like you have the atzi there, but probably something like this. Power to save. Power for rescue, or something like this. Now, in which case, what is the natural response to power for rescue? Namely, praising people, or perhaps glory from that, and then praising people for it. So you get then, and you know, an example of how far this can come is in the word post. You get as one of the meanings that derives from this men stationed along the road to go with dispatches, posting a ledger, which is making entries in a ledger, and posting a horse, which is riding a horse in a certain way, which is probably related to how the guys went. But it does, semantically, they look like they're wildly different, you know? So it would not at all be unlikely that those meanings could come, you know, from the other, and that the old one can still be there yet. And you know, the person just tells from context, that's all.
Yeah. That strikes me as very likely. And I mean, the only problem in proving it is that we don't have the intermediate steps along the way.
Right.
I mean, there's just, the data isn't there. But
yeah. And you don't have to prove it if you're famous, but we're not, so we're in trouble. All right. Then the second thing is with this, and he has become for me my salvation. You said B2 is become. Mm-hmm. I wonder if it might not be possible to see here the what I call the Paul Heinlein translation of ginnomai, that ginnomai means to become or be, but this student whom I had in 1989 when I first came here had the supposition upon looking at text that ginnomai can often mean to prove to be or show oneself to be. And there are a lot of texts where this would fit really well. Now, I think this would be one of them if there's this possibility. That he has proved to be for me or shown himself to be for me, not simply that he is or becomes, but that there is this this extra notion of kind of being out in public or something like that. To show oneself to be.
I'm skeptical of that. Yeah. It's just too common an idiom. Well, I think it could be used without that proved to be. Kind of.
See, what I'm suggesting is not that it doesn't mean the others on occasion, but that one of the possibilities might be, not simply that you have B2 equals become, but maybe one of them is B2 equals prove to be, you know, something like that. But just, you know, take a look at that as that comes through. Very, very good text. And the reminders on those subtle shifts in person and number are very important. Now, we have as our New Testament lesson, which I don't know, I suppose we can stretch for a parallel here, and that is the prodigal son, where you have he's become my salvation and so forth. I don't know. But let's get right into this.
They were just out in left field here. They were getting to the end of the third year. They're sort of stuck in Luke.
And maybe wanted to do some other stuff in the Old Testament and so on. Right. Yeah, probably what happened is somebody lost a manila folder or something, and then they got mixed up.
At a meeting without
something like that, right, yeah. Well, after you go to these meetings like the CTCR, you realize that if it is true that you should not see being made sausage and law, I would put down committee documents as another one of these, because you have that same problem. All right, now, chapter 15 of Luke, page 210 in the approved text. And we take a look at the first couple of verses and then leap right into the actual prodigal son. Eison de auto engidzontes. Now there's a periphrastic form. The verb to be plus the participle. And that is the equivalent of the imperfect emphasizing the continuous action part of it. So, and there were drawing near to him who? Pontes hoi teloni kai hoi hamartoloi, all the tax collectors and the sinful people, akuain autu. Now, don't just rush right by that akuain. That's present, not aorist. So they were coming there to continue to hear him, to try to hear him, to begin to hear him, or perhaps emphatically, actually to hear him, something like that. That this is amazing. You wouldn't think that these people would listen to a guy like this. Kai diegongidzon. Now, there's a nice imperfect, probably inceptive. And they began to grumble. Who? The Pharisees and the scribes, saying, and you can take this hoti as saying that, or just saying, comma, quotation marks, hutas, this guy, hamartolus prostechetai, sinful people receives and eats with them. Now, note how they've put that hamartolus, they've pulled that up in front. See, that's the offensive thing about all this. And then it says in the next verse 3, I think is part of this, and he said to them this parable. Well, we pick it up with 11. And he said, anthropostis, some guy, the King James always translates this a certain man, but it's, of course, the exact opposite of this. You're not thinking of a certain guy, it's just some guy. Some guy, eichen, was in possession of, had, diohuius, two sons. And the neoteros, this is from neos, younger, neoteros, more young, neos is young, and the younger of them said to the father, oh, there's a good example of the article functioning for possession. The father, no, his father. He said to the father in question, his father, pater, notice that's not pater, but that's the vocative, pater, father, dos, give me, dos, aorist, active, imperative of didomi, give to me ta epibalon meros tes usias. Usia is the thing that is, possession. Goods. Epibalon is actually a participle. It's a neuter, present active participle, and it means what is allotted to or falls to. So the meros, the part which falls to me, is allotted, give me, of the possessions. Hode, switching the subject, de ailen autois ton bi'on. Now, de ailen, let me parse that for you. That is third singular, aorist indicative active from de haireo. Haireo is to take up or separate. The word heresy comes from that. And so he separated out, and dia means he splits it up, to them ton bi'on, his life. Now, bios normally means life, but it can also mean, like in our English word, livelihood. So it's the possessions that he's got, but it's the possessions that give you your livelihood. Now, it's interesting. I checked some other uses of bios like this. This is used in Mark, I believe it's 14, when it talks about the widow giving her mite, and she gives, the other people give out of their largesse, she gives out of her lack, and she gave her whole bios, so the money that you use to support yourself. Now, I think there's a rather poignant touch there, as opposed to ta hubarchanta, which would just be your possessions. 13. And after not many days, that's a good piece of light to tease in literature, as that means a short time, after not many days, sun agagon, having gathered up all things, ha neoteras huias, the younger son, apa de mesen, apa de meo, was away from the deem, was away from the home, went away from home, into a far chora, a far area, and there, diascorpisen, scorpidzo, diascorpidzo is to waste, scatter. Scorpidzo is to scatter. So he kind of
sowed his wild oats.
Sowed, yeah. Well, I don't know if he was wild oats exactly, but he was sowing, as my brother would say, he flang his money around. He flang around his usia, the stuff that was his. Zon asotos, here comes the wild oats part, living dissolutely. So zon is the participle from zao, and I think this would be a good example of a participle of means. He scattered this stuff around by living loosely. 14. Dapane santos de autu panta. You can put a comma there. And after he had spent all things, ga, genitive absolute, egeneta limos ischira. A limos, a famine, ischira, strong one, egeneta, came about. Kata tain choran ekainen. Now there's that use of kata, meaning like it's not down and it's not against or according to, but sort of like throughout, down throughout the land. That's used quite a bit in our literature. And autos, and he himself began hysteraisthai, to lack. He began to be without. 15. And poraithais, going, and it's kind of interesting that poraithais is used here, not elthon, because he probably had to travel a little bit to get some place where maybe there was something going on. Poraithais ekolethe, he joined to one of the citizens of that land. Now, kalao is to glue together or to join. Now, this is an aorist passive, third singular, aorist indicative passive, kalaomai. And it's another example of a passive being used in an active, intransitive sense. Chapter 24, section D. And epempson, and he sent him into his fields. Now that has to be that it's changing the subject. Now, you know, technically, super duper duper technically, this is not a different subject, right? I mean, here's where you got to just go with the flow of the story. Because the subject of the first verb is, he joined one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him. Well, he didn't send the citizen into the field. The citizen sent him. That you'd think it would say hodeh, but no. I mean, he's just figuring you pick this up. And he sent him into his fields, boskain choirus, to feed swine. Don't be too hasty going over that boskain. Another present infinitive. So he sent him into the field to engage in feeding swine, or to have that as his regular job, or I think it is entirely possible that we've got an emphatic use here. He sent him into the field actually to feed swine. Now, why might that be emphatic? Well, we got this Jew boy out here with pigs. And he is actually being reduced to this. And the guy doesn't seem to be bothered by this. I mean, the owner, you know, he's going to do that. And epithymai, that's an imperfect from epithymeo, and he craved hortasthenai, to be fed. And hortadzo is usually used of feeding, like with animals or something like that, to be fed out of the pods which were eating the swines. Keration, kerateus, is pods from the acacia tree, which apparently were fed to pigs, and also that poor people sometimes were reduced to eating. Now, kortasthenai is aorist passive infinitive. The hon, let me just talk about that. The hon is assimilation of the relative. Yes, not cannibalism of your close kin, but the assimilation, that is, the taking into the case of the antecedent, the relative pronoun. The antecedent's in the genitive, kerateon, and that should have been ha, aestheon, but it is assimilating to its antecedent. In other, as I always say, what you guys always thought these things ought to do. And then it says, turning the page, end of verse 16, it says, and no one was giving to him. And nobody was giving anything to him. Now, I puzzled about this a while. I wasn't sure quite what this meant. I mean, this has to be the world's worst paying job. Nobody's giving him anything. He can't even eat the pods for the swine. What the heck kind of a job is this? I mean, was it simply that he had a place to stay or something like that? I mean, you know, maybe it's that, but certainly this portrays it as being about as desperate as you can get. 17. Unto himself, de. Note how the de is third, not second. Usually happens when you have a preposition and one object. Unto himself, elthon, having come, he said, fe. Third singular imperfect indicative active from fe mi, that classical touch there. Posoi mistheoi, how many hired hands of my father, perisoiantai, are abounding, and it's in their interest, note the middle, are abounding in artone, in bread, but I go limo hode, in a famine here, apolimai, am perishing. That's our famous verb, apolimi. Now remember how apolimi works. Active forms are transitive. That means to lose or destroy. Middle forms are intransitive, to perish. But I am perishing. Anastas poroisomai. Having arisen, I will go pros ton pateramu, to my father, and I will say to him. Now, poroisomai, note, first singular, future indicative middle. Poroimai is a passive deponent, but it uses the middle for the future. And I suppose that's simply because it's a shorter form. Rather than saying poroithesomai, you just say poroisomai. And I will go journey, to my father, and I will say to him, Pater, Father, I have sinned unto, toward heaven and before you. Now, you notice I translated that hamartan, I have sinned, not I sinned. Why? Because in Greek does not use the perfect form. Now, listen to how I'm going to say this. Does not use the perfect for a past act at an indefinite time. It uses the aorist. We always use the perfect. So this, he's not saying, I sinned against you 2 months ago. No, there's no indication of time, so the aorist will be used, but then in our language, we have to say, I have sinned. I have sinned against heaven and before you. No longer am I oxios, worthy, kleithenai, to be called, aorist passive infinitive, your son. Now, note that son is nominative. Why? Because it is in predicate to I. See, in other words, here this would be the active thing. He called me son. I am son. Now when I take the I and put it in the nominative as the subject of the passive, then the son has to go into the nominative because I and son are equal here. That is a predicate accusative construction, and when you take the accusative and put it to the nominative, the predicate follows suit and becomes nominative, even though you might have thought accusative would be appropriate to be called a son or something like that. Kleithenai, again from kaleo aorist, passive infinitive. Poi a son me, make me as henna, one of your hired servants. Poi a son is second person singular, aorist imperative active. And having arisen, he went to his father, his own father. Ha ha, there's an indication that something good may come out of this, his own father. Eti de autu makran ap echontos, comma, and while he was ap echo means to be at a distance. To be at a far distance, his father Idan Autun saw him. Now, note here, you probably just went right over this, never noticed it. There's a GA at the beginning, but it's an improper genitive absolute. Because his father saw him, Autun, but that's the same guy who's the Autu of the GA. See? But Greek will do that. While he was still at a great distance, his father saw him, and esplanchniste, splanchnizomai is to have pity, and his bowels wrenched, he had pity, and dramon epesen epiton trachelon autu, and having run, dram, like hippodrome, having run, he fell upon his neck, and kat ephilesen autun, and he kissed him. Kata phileo is to kiss someone. And he kissed him. Now, Ken Bailey, in his book The Cross and the Prodigal, points out that the act of running, while seemingly innocent in this story, is a highly charged theological point. Because an older gentleman, one who had some standing in the community, such as this person who had hired hands and so on, would never run. He wouldn't run because if he ran, his undergarments would show, and that would subject him to ridicule. So you always strode in a stately manner if you were a person like this. Now, what Ken Bailey says is, here we see the cross of Christ. That's why he calls it the cross and the prodigal. That is to say that in the son's coming back. The people of the village know who this is, and they know the guy's been a bozo. He comes back, he's all dirty and everything, no doubt, from this travel. He would have been the subject of ridicule. But when the father runs out and he does something that is improper for a gentleman to do, then the ridicule of the community is deflected from the son onto the father. And so there you have, you might say, the vicarious atonement motif, which reminds us that in this parable, the Father is not God the Father. The Father is Jesus. And we know this from the setting of the parable, namely, Jesus speaking to the tax collectors and sinners, and the other people are the Pharisees. Now there's your decoding of the parable. This son is the tax collectors and the sinners. The other son are the Pharisees and those who have kept the law. And of course, this is the basic theme. The sinners are the people who have thumbed their nose and blown a raspberry at God, but later on come to repent. And the others are the ones who think they've been doing the right thing all the time. Now, who's the father in the story? The father is Jesus himself. The father is Jesus, is God. So you have a kind of an interesting sort of backdoor understanding of Jesus being God himself for the people of Israel. So what happens? The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and no longer am I worthy to be called your son. Now, note that at the end of verse 21, the preferred manuscript reading is not to add, make me as one of your hired servants. Why is this omitted? Textually it's omitted because it's the harder reading since it's not a replication. But Bailey's understanding is because the father cuts him short. Not because he doesn't say it, but because doesn't want to say it, but because the father says to him, father cuts in, and his father said to his servants, Tahi, quickly, ex enenkete. Aorist, active imperative. Bring out stolen, tain, protein. The first stolen. No, that's the Milwaukee bakery. Sorry. The first stole. And endisate autan. And put it on him. Aorist, active imperative. And dote, give a dactylion, a ring on his chaira, hand. And hypodemata on his puds. on his feet. Why? Well, this guy is really poor now. He's just dragging on back. And ferete, and bring the ox, the sitoiton. Fatted ox? Well, yes, but that means the one you give situs to. This is the grain-fed beef. This is the corn-fed beef from Kansas that you can get through the mail at an inflated price. All right. Kill, and having eaten, let us rejoice. Because this my son was dead and on Edzesan and came back to life again. Zao means to live. Okay. This is the aorist. In verbs of condition, the aorist is usually entry into the condition. So this would be came back to life. He was Apollolos. Aha, our friend Apollomi again. Apollomi, Apollomai, Apollumai, Apollola. So you have he was lost and was found, and they began to have a knees up, have a good time. Aha, so it looks like it's going to be good, but it isn't. And you know what happens. And the older brother, the Presbyterian, was in the field, the Presbyteros, the older guy. And as he drew near Erchomenos, while he was going to the going to the house, Ekusen, he heard symphonias and choron. He heard voices together and dancing. Choron, our word chorus comes from that. And summoning one of the servants, you're lucky you're reading Greek, guys. Epinthaneta, he began to inquire. Indirect discourse in a secondary sequence, optative replacing an indicative. What these things were. Here is a good idiomatic translation. What the heck these things were. This is I have no idea. 27. Hodah. And he said to him, your brother is coming, and your father Ethesen killed the calf, the fatted, grain-fed one, because higainanta, healthy him, ap elaben, he received in return. He received him back. And now in 28, the great disappointment. Orgiste, he became wrathful, as the King James said. Passive, again, active intransitive meaning. And not was he desiring to go in, but his father, having gone out, par ekali, third singular, imperfect indicative active, began to admonish him, entreat him. Hodeh, but he replied and said to his father, behold, all these years, accusative of the extent of time, douloio, I serve you, and never your commandment have I transgressed. Never, never, never. Interesting. And to me, udepate, never edokas have you given a he-goat. Hey, that's even less than a fatted calf. In order that with my friends, oifrantho, I might have a big time. But when, and look at this, is this wonderful? But when this son of yours, not my brother, your son, who kataphagon, gulped down your means of living. I mean, what a wonderful, this is devoured your means of living with harlots, came, you killed for him the fatted calf. Hodeh. And the father said to him, Technon, child. Now, isn't that interesting? Rather than smack, which is what he should have done, and nobody in the community would have objected if he had just hauled off and slugged him right there. That's what Bailey says. Child, you always are with me. And all ta emma is sa. All the my things are your things, O leaders of Jerusalem. All the things of mine have been given over into your hands. To rejoice and to be glad, it was necessary. Wouldn't that be wonderful to preach on, Edi? It was necessary. Because this, your brother, not my son, your brother, you're all in the same familial boat, was dead and came back to life, and was apollolos, perished, and was discovered. And so now the parable ends on the open note. You can decode the parable and everything. You can semantically see what it's saying. And now that thing has the appeal. And what will you do, you Pharisees?